Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, my guest today is Jessica Adani of Personalized Solutions, which is a creative agency that designs methods to connect businesses with their customers through distinct branding, digital marketing, commercial video and podcast creation, and live events. Today, we're going to be discussing Jessica's journey of building her agency and what she's learned along the way. Thanks so much for joining us today, Jessica.
Thank you so much for having me, Julie. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you with us. So let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So to start, what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
Honestly, from a young age, I grew up in my dad was very entrepreneurial and he was always testing different businesses, some were skyrocketing, some weren't. And so I got to see firsthand a lot of that trial and error and how he just never really gave up. And that was very inspiring to me at a young age. He was really ahead in the dot-com era. So way back when the internet was really starting to take speed, we were, I think, one of the first people to really adopt and have an at-home computer and have email accounts and crazy stuff. I remember as a kid emailing my mom, which, you know, it was dial-up. It was the slowest thing in the world. But I got comfortable with digital really early on. And one of my dad's businesses was called localdiningguide.com. Mm-hmm. Anyways, Local Dining Guide was basically Yelp before Yelp was a thing. So he was a little too early to the game. And you know, timing is very critical when it comes to really good ideas and if they're going to blossom or not.
Yeah.
So anyways, he kind of always kept me inspired as a kid of just different things he was doing. And as I got older, I was like, you know, the biggest thing for me is I want to be able to own my own time. I want to decide where I am, whether that's anywhere in the world, you know, whether it's on site with a client, et cetera, et cetera. So that's, I would say, one of my biggest motivating factors in how I got started is an entrepreneur.
Very cool. And then, so yeah, you were heavily influenced by the way you were brought up by being so introduced to digital at such a young age. So what was that deciding factor that you wanted to start your agency?
So I actually started right out of college and I had studied political science and Middle East studies. I had a scholarship through the State Department and I had lived in Egypt for 8 months, studied Arabic. And that puts you on a list that'll make it a little bit easier to get into the State Department once you graduate. Long story short, I graduated and the government was on a hiring freeze. So that State Department job that I kind of figured I was going to fall right into was no longer an option. But there was always things growing up that I found incredibly interesting. And so I decided to start a business based on the things that I was good at versus what I had studied, because I had nothing to lose and a lot of student loans that I needed to get rid of. So I said,
exactly,
I should just trust myself and go for this. And if I fail, I fail. But if I don't, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be everything that I had hoped for, hopefully, but you never know, right? But yeah. I'd always seen my dad just go for it. And like I said, bringing the story back to him, that's kind of one of those subliminal things that was in my head of, well, if I don't do it and I have nothing to lose, if not now, when?
Exactly. You know, so many people wait so long and then all of a sudden they've got the mortgage payments and the two car payments and the kids. And it's just, you can't really risk the financial loss if the business doesn't take off. So I love that you just seized that opportunity and were successful with it.
I know. I mean, I really, it was a blessing and I have so much sympathy for those who do have, say, a large corporate paycheck coming in every month that they then have to say goodbye to in order to start what they're really passionate about.
Yeah.
That's got to be a terribly taxing choice. But when you're 22 out of college and you're not able to get the job that you'd always thought you were going to get, the decision I would say is a little bit easier. You just don't have a ton of experience behind you to warrant, you know, people coming and saying, hey, I want to work with you.
Yeah, exactly. So when you were first starting out, what were some of those challenges that you encountered early on?
I got fortunate. My first client was excellent. And they were a couple, and they were incredibly connected. And I started in Washington, D.C., and everybody in D.C., it's a very tight-knit circle. So once one person knows about you, they're happy to tell their friends about you. It's this like trust network. So I got lucky that my first clients loved me, and they kept referring me out to all of their friends who are movers and shakers in D.C., to put it lightly. So I started, and within, I would say, a month, I had all this business, and I had no business doing that much business that early on. So I was like, oh my gosh, I need to hire an assistant. Like I'm in over my head.
Wow. But
what an exciting time to be alive, right? Of going for it. It's working out. I'm working 7 days a week. I'm waking up at 5 a.m. I'm working till 8 p.m. doing everything that I can to just meet the demand. Because you never want to have to say no, especially at the beginning, to somebody who's like, hey, I need your help.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, wow. That's so cool. I love how you just kind of had that that lucky streak, and it just really worked out for you.
And I owe it all to referrals. Honestly, I never had to market my business for about 7 years. I never had to put an ad together. I never had to worry about any of that stuff because I had such a strong referral network because people genuinely liked working with us.
Yeah.
And that all changed when I decided to pick up my whole life and move to Scottsdale, Arizona. And change the headquarters to being in Arizona. I wanted to expand. I'm sure you're probably going to ask that question eventually of how did you guys get to 3 different places? But yeah. That's when I realized, wow, all of these digital marketing techniques are things that I need to employ for myself because I don't have a referral network that I can lean on to keep feeding business into the pipeline. I've got to get out there and figure this out for myself.
Yes. So how did you fill that pipeline when you had relocated to a new city?
Honestly, I started with in-person and I went to every networking event under the sun. If I was invited to anything, I said yes. And it was an exhausting first year. I put together direct mail campaigns. I did digital campaigns. I really tried to hit all 3 avenues of which I could just to see what's going to work. Mm-hmm. This is a completely different market than DC was. So your brand voice and what you need to be able to bring to the table is going to be entirely different than what it was back east. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of trial and error, to be honest with you, but I'll always go back to nothing beats that in-person connection. And then adding the digital on top is like, I'd say the secret sauce.
Okay. Very cool. That's really interesting. So you just went to every networking event that you could find and just basically was just focused on building that person-to-person relationship.
Yeah, you know, and then that person, oh, I own a business and I need to do X, Y, and Z. Here's the situation. Oh, I'm a surgeon and I want to revamp like all of my marketing, all of my digital, and I want to take my brand from here to here. I want to compete with, you know, the best in the world, that kind of thing. Everybody knows somebody. And then once you've started working and you've got a couple of projects under your belt, you kind of start to see, all right, that referral network is slowly building, but it's good to still be putting in that extra digital effort that I had never had to do for myself before.
Absolutely. Very interesting. So how would you guys say that you differentiate yourselves from other agencies?
Honestly, I haven't worked with another agency, so it's always so hard to tell, but I can tell you that we customize every aspect of how we operate to that client and their specific need. So we have a podcast studio within our office in Scottsdale. We produce podcast content. We produce these shows from their branding to their distribution to their management, the entire process. So our clients show up, they record, and we handle everything else.
Interesting.
And I would say it's such a hands-on process. But we also saw in the middle of 2020 that podcasts were already growing exponentially. It was one of the fastest market segments. And that was only going to continue. So we took a risk in the middle of 2020. We expanded to a much larger studio. Most people are not even going to work at this point. Mm-hmm. We built a recording studio in the office. And, you know, we put it out there. And we started marketing it. And the people, they came. And that's honestly been a really cool segment of something that's different within our agency is a lot of people do digital, a lot of people do really cool paid ad strategies and creative campaigns. We do all of that as well. But something that makes us different is that we've got this entire podcast and commercial video production side that's all in-house.
Very cool. That's so interesting. So I have heard from a lot of agency owners lately that they are having a lot of trouble retaining team members. So members of their team are just, you know, not really loyal to the company. Is that something that you've encountered? And if so, how do you help boost that retention with your team members?
I would say we've got a handful of incredibly loyal people on our team, and I never even think twice because they love the work that they do. They love our clients. It's so much deeper than just a paycheck.
Yeah.
But then we have had situations where there is no loyalty and they go and they jump to a competitor or they sabotage a client relationship, you know, the negative side of doing business. And I think that honestly, this is going to sound corny, but listening to your gut as an agency owner, when it comes to if you start to see red flags, you need to address them versus talking yourself out of it. Mm-hmm. Before I confront anything, I'm always like, oh, I need proof. And I think that that is one of the hardest lessons I've learned is that, no, you need to address things as they're coming up head on. And if this person is not operating with your best interests at heart, or, you know what I mean, if they're the creative world is tough. You've got these non-disclosure agreements and non-compete agreements. But as we all know, any agency owner, those are so tough to keep up in court that if someone wants to jump and they want to take a client with them, it's not terribly difficult to do. Mm-hmm. So I think just being really honest with paying attention to what's going on and staying present within your business, that helps a lot. A lot of times you're so busy. You've got so many different things. You've got new client leads coming in. You've got business meetings here, there, everywhere. You're traveling and the things on home base can sometimes take a backseat.
Interesting. And then how do you help create happy team members?
I guess another thing makes us different is we give 10 to 15% of all of our revenue back to charities. So it's fun because as a team, we get to decide if we're either donating our time, donating our services, or donating money. And everyone on the team gets to help be in that selection process of who should we support? There's so many great organizations. How can we make our work go further into creating stronger communities? And I think people really like that. We do a lot of fun social things. We've done axe throwing nights, bowling nights, you know, just, hey, let's get out of the office and do something fun sporadically. And I think that helps boost your morale. I'm also incredibly flexible. One of, for example, one of our team members has kids and I have to be gone by 3. I have to work from home this day. But, you know, if it's Saturday afternoon and there's something that needs to be done that she wasn't able to get done, I know that it will get done in due time ahead of a deadline. And yeah. I think having that like flexible work-life balance is a big, big piece of the modern day, I guess, office and morale, because a lot of people did go virtual. And I will say, I love having everyone come into the office, but it's not mandatory every day. I just like to see people's faces.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's definitely, I think, benefits and drawbacks to having both. It sounds like you guys are very much local to each of your offices that you have distributed throughout the U.S.
Yes, absolutely are. I'm pretty much the floater.
Very cool. So how do you really try and go, you know, above and beyond for your clients to create really happy clients at the end of the day?
We celebrate all their major milestones. So for example, 1 year anniversary of being a client, we go all out and we invite them into the office and we deck out the office. And there's, if you know, the client's got a sweet tooth, hey, we've got all these custom cupcakes that have been made. We've got champagne. We've got this. We take them out for either a celebratory dinner or lunch. You know, we give them countdowns of, hey, in 2 months, we'll be celebrating 1 year. We've got some great surprises in store for you. Things like that, so that they realize, hey, we really value you as a human being, because all of us, it's person to person. People aren't hiring companies. They're hiring people they actually want to spend time with and enjoy.
Yeah.
So keeping that heart-centered kind of mindset has been, I think, what makes us kind of special and what makes our relationship with our clients, just like our name, so personal.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that idea. So you guys celebrate the 1 year working relationship. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Or if it's a project, if it's their podcast and it's turning 1 year old, we'll celebrate that. So it kind of depends on what type of client it is.
Very cool. I love that. That's so creative. So what has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've been growing your agency?
Gosh, there's so many challenges. I mean, I'm sure you hear that a lot. I'm trying to think of what the number one would be. Probably strategic growth. Mm-hmm. Being able to have the right people on the team, understanding what their role is while onboarding new clientele. Our existing team, they know what's going on, but you only have so much capacity. So I would say being able to grow our team has probably been the hardest part, especially from 2020 into 2022.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, what are other people telling you?
Yeah. So really, really common challenges that a lot of agencies have to overcome is just dialing in those systems and processes. Creating that data bank of all those SOPs that they need for their team members. So as they scale, it's all recorded somewhere. That's a huge undertaking if you don't sort of do it as you go.
Completely.
Yeah. So that's definitely a big one, but yeah, it's definitely usually just all related to growth at the end of the day. And I imagine with you having the three locations and, you know, feeling like you need to be in more than one place at one time, that's a huge challenge. So what is that like?
It can be absolutely chaotic, to put it lightly, but it's also great because I've always been somebody, I've lived in a zillion different states. I've grew up, like, that's how I was raised. So being on a plane every other week, every week, that really doesn't faze me whatsoever as an adult. And I kind of think it's a fun change of pace to be able to pop in, say hello to these clients, get some strategic meetings in, and then keep moving. I will say the pace of which each market grows is very different. And so, you know, that's kind of interesting to see what's going on where. For example, East Coast slowed way down, whereas Texas and Arizona continued at a really, really strong clip, just I think based on where businesses were able to operate.
Interesting. So to any agency owners who are listening, who are considering opening up another office in another state, are there any, you know, words of wisdom that you would just pass along?
I would say start small. You don't need to go and rent that brick and mortar office right off the bat. There's a lot of creative ways that you can not expand into that level of overhead until you're actually ready. Mm-hmm. I would say a big thing that we recently implemented was every morning we have a meeting, and it can be 15 minutes, it can be an hour long, but it's on the calendar and it's a way of touching base and saying, okay, where's everything standing, so that there's communication across all platforms. But hire as you're ready. Don't feel that you need to have 18 people at your next location in order for it to be successful. Strategically add as things continue to grow. And try not to bite off too, like, more than you can chew. Because if you've got a huge demand and you are not able to support that, you're going to have unhappy clients and customers and reviews, and that's not going to be great in that new market as you try to grow.
Yeah, great advice. I love it. So do you have any productivity hacks to help save you time that you've uncovered?
Yes. We use this really great tool. It's called MeisterTask. And it's great because you can set, if you've got your agenda for the day, you've got all these different client projects. So if I'm working on admin for an XYZ project, I can hit start on it. It'll time it. It'll let me know when I've hit a certain amount of time that I think I should have been done with this by then. Mm-hmm. And if I need to extend, I can do that. But it really shows you where you're spending your time per project. And I think a lot of the times in agency life, you know what you need to get done that day, but you aren't really sure how long it's taking you to complete those things. So when you're able to look back and say, all right, well, every week I'm spending about 15 hours doing this. Is there a way that I can cut that down to 7.5? What does that look like? What would I need to tweak in order to do that? Or is this something that I can hand off so that I can be freed up by 15 hours to do something that's higher level, more priority?
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah, that's so smart. So what is the name of that tool again?
It's called MeisterTask.
MeisterTask. Okay, very good. Because yeah, I think one thing to always be keeping in mind as an entrepreneur is just being so wary of where you're spending your time. You know, like, is this a $20 task or is this a $1,000 an hour task? That's the way I always try to think of things when I'm doing tasks. Is it something that I can be delegating to someone else, or is it going to propel the business forward? So
100%. But then there's always going to be those $20 tasks that you just personally really enjoy. And I think that it's good to still keep those, do you know what I mean? Like, close to nest. You don't have to necessarily always do them, but there's certain client project things that I started doing at the very beginning, and I just really find a lot of joy still doing them. So is it the best use of my time? Probably not, but it brings me happiness in my day-to-day work. And yeah, so I've held on to it.
Yeah. I think as long as you're aware of it at the end of the day, if it's something you want to keep doing, then yeah. Absolutely.
And I mean, trying to get rid of the things that you hate doing. I ask all of my team members, what do you absolutely hate doing? We have a beginning of year meeting and it's really, really intense. We're going through every client project. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? What do you want to do? What do you not want to do? Because that's equally important. If you're giving someone on the team stuff that they despise doing, it's going to take them five times longer to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So where do you see personalized solutions in 5 years time?
Funny you ask. We today, as we're recording this interview, later this afternoon, we are announcing and showcasing our rebrand that we just went through. So we are 11 years old and we've had the same logo since day one. We decided to completely change pretty much everything. So I'm excited because I feel like that time clock of what happens from here to 5 years kind of starts today, and it starts here with this conversation, which is really very cosmic and exciting. I see us expanding into working with hospitality. I would like to work with hotels. That's always been a goal.
Cool.
I'm not sure if we necessarily will be adding like a bunch more offices. I'm not sure if that's really part of the big strategic plan now. I've always been a fan of small but mighty. So how can we do things faster, better, and provide a really high level of service? So I think refining that, I know throughout the next year, we're going to be changing our processes to be as efficient as possible, not just as creative as possible. So how do you blend creativity and efficiency into one operating experience? And I think that's going to be our big key to growth and unlocking that next level. And honestly, I hope that we just continue to make our clients' dreams reality and we get to serve more people. And, you know, it's all about that person-to-person connection. So I look forward to just meeting tons of new people and doing what we love.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know that's so vague. I don't have like a revenue goal for 5 years. I don't have, you know, oh, I want 80 employees by then.
No, I think that's a great goal. It's very intentional, and I love that you know exactly where you want to be expanding to. So it's very exciting. And then you've got the rebrand to kick it all off.
Yes. Perfect timing.
Yes. Nice. So we are going to be wrapping up here shortly, but is there anything else that you'd like to add to any agency owners who are listening that you think might be helpful?
If you've been on the fence about investing in technological tools that can help you optimize, I know even just researching all of these tools that are available to us now in this day and age can be daunting. Reach out, ask me some questions, because we have tried everything, it feels like, at this point to land on what works the best. Of course, everybody's agency is a little bit different, but my big thing is embrace technology. It's going to save you a lot of time. It can be a total nightmare at the beginning, but I promise once you get over the hump, there's a lot of happiness to be found.
I love that. Yes, of course. And, you know, embrace automations where you can make that work as well.
And don't forget about the personal connection point. You know, your clients chose you and your agency for a very distinct reason. Yep. And I know sometimes we all get busy and we kind of lose touch of, it's just get it done, get it done, get it done. But sometimes people just want to talk about how their day's going or the vacation that they're about to go on or just got back from. And I think that we still need to keep that level of friendliness and humanity in our relationships.
I love that. Absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to move on to the fast five, which are five rapid fire questions now.
Yay! So
What is a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
All right. A book that I recently read is called The Execution Factor by Kim Perrell. She is a serial entrepreneur who has had some really big failures at the beginning and then had some major successes and did it all, I think, by 35. Really, really incredible. But she talks so much about just get out there and start making moves. The timing is never going to be right. You yeah. have to just keep executing. You can talk yourself out of something for years, months, days. Don't do it. Imperfect action is the best action.
I love that. I agree 100%. And what does your morning routine look like?
My morning routine varies depending on what city I am in. So for example, when I'm in Dallas, which is where I'm sitting right now, I like to wake up because Arizona is not working for another 2 hours because we're at 2 hour time change. East Coast has already started 1 hour ahead. So I'm kind of in that sweet spot. Start off with a morning workout. And then I check my emails as soon as I'm walking back from the gym, take a shower, get ready, grab some coffee, hop in. I do about 1 to 2 hours of admin, email, correspondence, that kind of thing. Then I shut it off and I get into whatever my priority project is slated for the day through our Meister task. Around 1 o'clock, I'll break. I'll have coffee, maybe a quick bite to eat, make a couple of phone calls, and then it's back online to checking in with the team. If it's a Monday, I'm starting off with that team call so that everybody's locked in on the same page no matter where I am. And that's always 8:30 a.m. Pacific time. So depending on DC, et cetera, et cetera. And then I would say by 5 o'clock, I'm really aiming to close that computer and then go take a walk, do something where I can kind of like clear my mind. Because as you know, you stare at a screen long enough in a day, your head's ready to explode.
Yes, totally. Exactly. And you add in all the Zoom calls on top of it.
Exactly. And I'm a very social person, so I don't mind having to be on and talking all day, but there's days where you're just like, I have to cut that line. So the goal is always 5. I was working till 9 last night. Things happen.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
And every morning is different, but I try and keep some semblance of there's always a workout somewhere in the day. I believe that you've got to keep moving your body in order for your mind to be able to create and operate at that high level. Mm-hmm. And I'm a huge proponent of sleep. So everybody listening, I know it's all about grind, grind, grind. But if you don't get that sleep, I really believe it slows down your creativity.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No, like a little productivity hack that I've encountered is I'll go for just a 30-minute run in the late afternoon and it gives me that second wind and I have so much energy after. So
I love that.
Yeah, it works so well. And yeah, you're getting that fresh air. It's good for your body. I'm sure drinking copious amounts of coffee might accomplish the same thing, but it's not as healthy.
No, absolutely. I actually in Scottsdale, if I can squeeze in a noon workout class, I will hop over to one of the gyms near our office and hop back if we're not seeing clients that day. I mean, it's in and it's out, but it feels good because then you're energized and you're thinking on a different wavelength.
Yeah, totally. All right. So is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Ooh, I have always really liked Ray Dalio. He is a big venture capitalist. He's written a zillion different books. He's got a great social media presence, and I do follow his stuff pretty much every day. It ranges from high-level economics to how to manage people to people. And I think that he's a very level-headed thinker. He's a very level-headed CEO who's achieved a massive amount of success. So he's somebody that I really like.
Awesome. And what is your favorite online tool?
Ooh, favorite online tool. I'm going to go with Meister Task. I mentioned it before, but project management, like on crack is what I call it. Similar to Slack, but a little bit different. Slack, we tried that out, of course, and I just felt like it was too much chatting back and forth. This is a place where all of the files can succinctly live. You can organize your tasks. You can assign things to different people within your organization. And it's just great for managing 3 different locations and all of the different projects. So if you've never heard of it, I highly suggest checking it out.
Very cool. Love that. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Oof, I wish I knew a lot of things. One thing. I think that it's just to trust your journey, that you're going to have so much so many times where there's a lot of unknowns, and that's part of owning a business, being an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And you just have to trust yourself. And I am religious, so I trust that God's got me on the right journey and that I landed here for a reason. Mm-hmm. And when, you know, you lose a big client or an account and you're blaming yourself, you've got to really like pull yourself back up and say, I can't focus on this failure. I need to focus on what happens next.
Yeah.
Which is hard for, I think, a lot of us to do, because rejection and many failures of that kind, they happen to all of us.
Yeah.
And I think it's really just about how you react to it moving forward versus sitting there dwelling on it, feeling bad and thinking about, oh, I could have done this, I could have done that, I could have done this, because it's a endless cycle of wasted energy. And I know early on, I took every person who decided to move in a different direction so personally.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, well, that, you know, if you're not going to be thinking about it in, what is it, 5 years, don't spend more than 5 minutes worried about it. And I know that's idealistic, but I can say that there's some truth to it.
I love that. Yeah. And it's something that just, I think, is just one of those life lessons, you know? Yeah, when you can get to that point where you're just able to, you know, be like, it's unfortunate, but I've got amazing things ahead of me and I'm just going to work towards achieving all those wonderful things. Then it's a great way to just be thinking on a regular basis.
Absolutely. The more positive you can stay in times of turmoil and roller coasters, the better off your outcome always is. So
definitely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Jessica. It was a pleasure to have you on the podcast and I really enjoyed our chat.
Thank you so much, Julia. Great job on even creating this. I want to know from you, what led you to being like, you know what, I'm going to start this podcast.
Yeah. So I knew I wanted to start a podcast. I used to work in digital marketing and then I started my software company called Review Robin. And yeah, I wanted to just create a place where I could be just providing really helpful content for agency owners and connecting with agency owners. And yeah, so I created the podcast. I had no experience, didn't have a clue what I was doing. I just booked my first guest and bought a microphone. And yeah, I've recorded over 150 episodes as of today's date. So
yay, you're celebrating a big milestone too. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. So yeah, it's one of those things, you know, it's scary at first, but you just got to do the hard thing, do the scary thing, and then it gets easier over time. And yeah, it's what you got to do in business.
Absolutely. You are living proof. Well, congratulations on all of your success, and I wish you so much more in the future.
Thanks so much, Jessica.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.